Thank you all for gathering here tonight to give me your association. First time in Washington, D.C. in quite a few years, at least. Always happy to be amongst the warm-hearted, wonderful devotees here. Tonight I wanted to speak something about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Jagannath Puri. How he expressed the inundation of divine love, both in terms of separation from Krishna and also in terms of his dealings with the devotees. So the flood of love of Krishna was coming in both those ways. You may recall in Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna says, you should approach a guru to understand all about the sacrificial processes of bhakti. In the next verse he says, and when you've done that, you'll understand that all living beings are in Krishna, they're his, and therefore you won't be an illusion anymore. Yajgata napunar moham. So seeing Krishna, feeling Krishna, also of course means seeing Krishna's devotees, feeling relationships with Krishna's devotees. Both go hand in hand. Lord Chaitanya's dealings in Jagannath Puri, night and day, involved the deepest immersion in loving exchanges. Lord Chaitanya's heart, in Lord Chaitanya's heart, once a devotee asked me, what's in Lord Chaitanya's heart? In his heart are the emotions of Srimati Radharani, particularly the emotions Srimati Radharani felt when Uddhava visited Vrindavan and saw the madness of separation. Also, Lord Chaitanya's dealings with his devotees would bring one to tears. So the crying went on in both ways, in relation to separation from Krishna, because in his heart, in Lord Chaitanya's heart, were the emotions of Srimati Radharani and separation. And secondly, the relationships, the bonding with the devotees, the coming and going of devotees, Jagannath Puri. This is also saturated with lots of tears. So Jagannath Puri in this way became like the chakra for ecstatic tears in separation from Krishna and in relationships with devotees. Even major personalities from other planets would visit Lord Chaitanya at Jagannath Puri. And that way, indeed, he spread the Sankirtan movement all over the universe. Bhagavatam is an extraterrestrial book, and so is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya was visited by Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj. Residents of all the different sections of the universe would come and visit him in Jagannath Puri disguised as human beings. So there's no way around it. Our Krishna conscious knowledge, our bhakti Vaishnava knowledge is not geocentric. And just that understanding alone forces us to realize that we cannot rely upon our senses in trying to ascertain the full scope of Vaishnava knowledge. Let's go to the chapter entitled The Loving Dealings Between Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannanda Pandit. But we're not going to talk about Jagannanda Pandit tonight. You may recall how Jagannatha Pandit would visit Navadvip, and he brought back to Jagannath Puri a big ceramic pot full of flowery scented oil. And his idea was he was going to massage Lord Chaitanya's head with that. But Lord Chaitanya, demonstrating the strict principles of sannyas, didn't want any flowery scented oil rubbed on his body. So Jagannatha Pandit, in pure devotional anger, just smashed the pot of oil and then started to fast. And so Lord Chaitanya had to break the ice somehow or other to get Jagannatha Pandit to start eating again. He asked Jagannatha Pandit to cook for him. And in this way, Jagannatha Pandit became pleased. But that loving exchange, although the major part of this chapter, and what I was thinking to speak on, is not what we'll speak about tonight, because leading up to that pastime are some what apparently are small exchanges of love, but actually they're extraordinarily significant, and they give us insight. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a text of divine emotions, just as Bhagavatam is. But the emotions in Bhagavatam, and especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, are outside the purview, outside the range of emotions as we would readily recognize them. But that doesn't mean they're not there. Bhagavatam, and especially Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, are just saturated with pure loving tastes in emotional exchange. And if you approach Bhagavatam, and especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, in that way, you'll begin to see the points we're going to focus upon in this discussion tonight. Is the points are, first of all, it is an established fact that just by knowing about the transcendental attributes of Lord Chaitanya, you're going to feel obligated and bound because of the all-attractive characteristics. Indeed, Chaitanya Charitamrita means that the characteristics of the eternal, the characteristics and activities, of the nectar of the characteristics and activities of the eternal living force. So just by understanding the all-attractive features of Lord Chaitanya, you feel obligated, you feel bound. In the mundane world, there's an expression, to know someone is to love that person. Because the more you become truly aware of someone, naturally your affection increases. Generally, you don't want to try to know someone who you're not interested in. But as you know Lord Chaitanya more, as you know Krishna more, your love increases because of their unlimitedly attractive features. So first, let us focus on this point, that you're already bound just by hearing about Lord Chaitanya's qualities, his attributes. But then there's a further binding, a further obligation that his associates are going to point out. And Lord Chaitanya takes it even further. He puts you in further debt with such beautiful dealings that he has with his devotees. So that takes things even to another level. So in the end, you're just left captured, totally shackled by not only Lord Chaitanya's qualities and features, but by his behavior with his devotees. Lord Chaitanya himself, however, feels so indebted to his devotees because of their love. So there's a lot of crying going on in Jagannath Puri day and night. At night, as you know, Lord Chaitanya would be surrounded by his most intimate associates, Supa Damodar and Ramananda Roy. and he would be morose in separation from Krishna, not mundane moroseness. He would be morose and restless. He wouldn't know any peace because of separation from Krishna. This is, though, transcendental ecstasy, pure ecstasy in love of Krishna. But during the day, his loving exchanges with devotees would also be a source of tears. So just once again, just by Lord Chaitanya's presence in Jagannath Puri, the whole city became just drowned in crying and tears and ecstasy and love of Krishna and the ecstasy of ecstatic devotee relationships. So we are indeed dealing with the ocean of mercy, and the first few verses of this chapter point out that Lord Chaitanya is an ocean of mercy, Nityananda Prabhu is also, Advaita Acharya is, they're all Karuna Sagar. But how that ocean of mercy manifests, you'll see that in Lord Chaitanya's dealings with his devotees. The constant feeling of separation from Krishna. You cannot know a love like that in material existence, in which you're constantly affected by pure feelings of separation. Lord Chaitanya would demonstrate how to cry out for Krishna. O Prananath, O Lord of my life. O Brajendra Nandana, O son of Maharaj Nanda. Radhana, the flute player, where are you? How can I attain you? This is the topmost yoga, the pinnacle of the yoga system, to pine in separation for Krishna. So day and night, Lord Chaitanya was like this, but during the day, he could go to the Jagannath temple and feel like he was meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra, Jagannath. But night time, there was nothing to shield him from the torrent of feelings of separation. While that was going on, the separation at night and the feelings of meeting Krishna during the day when he went to Jagannath Puri temple, you also have the factor of devotees coming from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri every year. And they're coming. They couldn't stay away, basically. Even Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda Prabhu, don't come. You have to preach in Bengal. Do a task even I can't do. But sometimes Nityananda would come anyway. The bonds of love were so intense. The numbers of the party that would travel from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami puts at about 200 or 300 devotees. And Shivananda Sain, as you know, would organize the whole trip. He knew all the roads from Bengal to Orissa. He knew how to arrange for the devotees. He knew how to pay the tolls that had to be paid for using certain roads. He knew how to secure lodging. He happily did this service, arranging for all the Vaishnavs. So, one time, Shivananda Sain was delayed in meeting up with the party because he had to deal with a toll collector. So the party went ahead, including Nityananda Prabhu, and they rested under a tree, waiting for Shivananda Sain to finish dealing with the toll collector. In the meantime, and this is another element of our presentation, Nityananda Prabhu and his contradictory behavior, seemingly acting, injurious, while actually bestowing his mercy. Nityananda Avaduta. So in this presentation, you'll hear how Nityananda Prabhu, by all accounts, seems to be acting in a most impudent, rude way, but actually he's bestowing his greatest mercy. So, Sivananda Sen is late. Nityananda Prabhu is waiting with the other devotees, and Nityananda Prabhu is hungry. And he begins to talk in an ill way about Sivananda Sen. I'm so hungry, I could die. Where is this Sivananda Sen? Of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material body, nor does he have any material. He's not subject to the material whips like hunger, thirst, anger, greed, lust, and so on. But this is Nityananda Prabhu's contradictory avaduta behavior. I'm so hungry, I could die. Since I'm so hungry that I can die, and it's all Sivananda Sen's fault, he hasn't secured me any lodging yet. Therefore, what do I do? I curse his three sons to die. Now, you can imagine what the mother of the sons was thinking when she heard that. Oh, Nityananda has cursed our three sons to die. So when her husband, Sivananda Sen, finally appeared, she ran to him crying, oh, Nityananda has cursed our sons to die. Because there was this discrepancy in his hospitality. What was Sivananda Sen's reaction? Oh, crazy woman, why are you lamenting? If indeed we have inconvenienced Nityananda Prabhu, indeed, let our sons die. Now you might say, oh, this is a bit extreme. But Sivananda Sen meant it. This is the nature of bhakti, everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Manasa Deho Geho Yogi Chumo Apilin Tuya Pare Nan Kishore. Whatever I have, Lord, mind, body, wealth, home, it's all yours. So Sivananda Sen, the ideal grihastha, the perfect grihastha, is acting on that principle. He's being the pati, the household guru for his wife. You crazy woman. If Nityananda has been inconvenienced, all our sons should die. What's the problem? In other words, we're just living for the pleasure of Nityananda Prabhu. We don't live for our own purposes. We're living for his pleasure. You have to see deeply into that point. Otherwise, you might react like this is some kind of fanaticism. What next? A jihad or something? Nityananda Prabhu should mellow out, What is this? Cursing householders' children to die. Real fanaticism is way over the top. But we'll find out more what's really going on with Nityananda Prabhu's unconventional methodology. So, as we said, Sivananda Sen replied, you crazy woman, why are you needlessly crying? Let my three sons die for all the inconvenience we have caused Nityananda Prabhu. So then, immediately Sivananda Sen went to Nityananda Prabhu. Remember, Sivananda Sen had just returned, to find out, what were the problems. And what did Nityananda Prabhu do? He stood up from his sitting place and kicked him. Now, in terms of Vaishnav etiquette, to touch someone with your feet is considered very rude. What speak of kicking someone with your foot? That's considered very low class, uncouth, to say the least. So, Sivananda Sen's reaction was, upon being kicked by Nityananda Prabhu, he was feeling very pleased, very fortunate. So he touched the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, and then he showed Nityananda Prabhu to his accommodation. And then he spoke to Nityananda Prabhu, elaborating on how he was feeling. He revealed his heart to Nityananda Prabhu. Today you have made me so fortunate. You have chastised me, giving me your causeless mercy. Who within the three worlds can understand your real character, your ways of doing things? Your feet and the dust on your feet can't be had by Lord Brahma, yet you've touched me with your feet. Who can understand my great fortune? Everything about my life has now become perfect. My religious principles, my economic development, my sense satisfaction, my liberation, and most importantly, my attaining devotional service to Lord Krishna. It's all been completed because I've been touched by your lotus feet. Nityananda Prabhu was very happy to hear this, and he embraced Sivananda Sen. He embraced him in great love. You see, this is the contradictory behavior of Nityananda Prabhu. It's a characteristic of his that he's, through his methodology of anger and even kicking someone, he's acting completely for that person's benefit and giving his mercy. You know that song by Narottam Das Thakur? Nittai Padakamala Koti Chandra Shushita. Is it Narottam or Lochan? Who knows? Hiii Jagat Jurai. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are more soothing than millions and millions of moons. So with his lotus foot, he kicked Sivananda Sen, and Sivananda Sen is right onto it. I have been blessed. Now my life is perfect. What would you say if, even someone you accepted as a great personality just stood up and kicked you? You feel highly provoked and agitated. Your faith would probably be a bit shaken. But Sivananda Sen just, wow, now my life is perfect. He understood Nityananda Prabhu. One of the ways you do things, Nitai, is that through your apparently contradictory behavior, you bestow the greatest mercy. You've kicked me for my benefit. Sivananda Sen had a nephew, and the nephew was having some difficulty with Nityananda Prabhu's behavior. He's having difficulty with Nityananda kicking Sivananda Sen. So although the nephew of Sivananda Sen was also on the party, going from Bengal to Orissa, the nephew, Srikanta Sen, decided to separate himself from the party and go ahead to Jagannath Puri. He was very agitated in his mind. He didn't tell his uncle, Sivananda Sen, but he's telling other devotees, my uncle is well known as one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Lord Nityananda Prabhu asserts his superiority by kicking my uncle. So he was very disturbed. He was a young boy. So he went ahead to Puri, and he went to see Lord Chaitanya. Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's servant, noticed that Srikanta Sen, the young boy, was coming in fully dressed with his outer garments. And so Govinda reminded him of the etiquette that when you're seeing a respectable person, when pujaris are entering into the deity room, they don't have their outside clothes on. But Lord Chaitanya heard Govinda advising Srikanta Sen in that way, and Lord Chaitanya told him, no, he's very disturbed. Don't try to correct him. So when Srikanta Sen, the young boy, heard that, he understood, Lord Chaitanya knows what's on my mind. And so Srikanta Sen just began to relay the latest news about Lord Chaitanya's associates, but he didn't mention about his uncle getting kicked. So just by Lord Chaitanya doing like that, Lord Chaitanya soothed the whole situation. He just said, oh, this boy is very disturbed. Don't point out that he's wearing his outside clothes when he shouldn't be. He's very disturbed. So that pacified Srikanta Sen. Now, all the residents of Lord Chaitanya's associates who are residents of Navadvipa, they're arriving in Jagannath Puri, and Sivananda Sen is going to present his family to Lord Chaitanya. You remember Lord Chaitanya is a strict sannyasi, but he treated Sivananda Sen's family as if it were his own. When Sivananda Sen's youngest son, was in the womb, Lord Chaitanya named him. And now the child's born, and Lord Chaitanya allows the child to suck his toe. And Lord Chaitanya gave the instruction that as long as Sivananda Sen and his family, his wife and sons, were in Jagannath Puri, they should be delivered, they should receive all the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's food. So this is the affection that Lord Chaitanya treated that family. He was a very strict sannyasi, super strict at the same time. His loving dealings had no comparison. Another example Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives in this chapter is, amongst the group coming from Navadvipa to visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri was an old man, a confectioner, making and selling sweets, who knew Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya was a little boy in Navadvipa. So Parameshwara, the confectioner, he presented himself to Lord Chaitanya. And he said, not only I've come, but also my wife, Mukundara Mata, she's also here. Lord Chaitanya flinched a bit because, according to the strict sannyasi etiquette of the time, you don't even hear a woman's name. So he flinched. But then he was actually pleased by the simple dealings of this devotee. And so that overrode the formal considerations. He saw this devotee as simple. He saw the heart of the devotee. And so Lord Chaitanya disregarded the strict execution of the sannyas dharma, not even hearing a woman's name, because he just accepted the heartfelt bhakti of this devotee. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that an intimate relationship sometimes makes a person overstep formal etiquette. Thus, Parameshwara actually pleased the Lord in his heart by his simple and affectionate behavior. To have simple and affectionate behavior is not something to look down on, like, you know, you're dealing with country bumpkins or something. It's more important to Lord Chaitanya than even the strict formalities and etiquette of the sannyas ashram. So the devotees would stay in Jagannath Puri for 4 months, as you know, Rathyatra, Gundicha, Marjan, cleansing the temple. And it would be time for them to leave, to go back to Navadvipa. I'd like to give for your meditation tonight Lord Chaitanya, a soliloquy of Lord Chaitanya's making a presentation to these devotees from Navadvipa, that you go through so much trouble to come see me every year. He's going to express his indebtedness to the devotees because they go through so much trouble just to see Lord Chaitanya. Listen, please. All of you come to see me every year. To come here and then return must certainly give you great trouble. I would like to forbid you to do this, but I enjoy your company so much that my desire for your association only increases. I ordered Nityananda Prabhu not to leave Bengal, but he has transgressed my order and come to see me. But what can I say? Out of his causeless mercy upon me, Advaitacharya has also come here. I am indebted to him for his affectionate behavior. This debt is impossible for me to liquidate. All my devotees come here just for me. Leaving aside their homes and families, they travel by very difficult paths to come here in great haste. See how sensitive Lord Chaitanya is? He knows what's going on amongst his household of devotees. They just leave everything, homes and families, travel with great difficulty, very quickly. They're so eager to see Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is completely aware of that, and he's expressing his not only gratitude, but indebtedness. Just wait till how he puts it. He talks about his situation. There's no fatigue or trouble for me, for I stay here at Nilachal, Jagannath Puri, and do not move at all. This is the favor of all of you. Now he'll speak about his indebtedness. It's always wonderful for devotees to feel indebtedness to other devotees and to express it. This increases the Vaishnava wealth. When you appreciate someone, a devotee who's done something for you, it stimulates that devotee to do more for others. You increase the stock of loving exchanges. It's like the government printing money. You appreciate a devotee for what he or she has done for you, and so then that devotee's like a treasury department. He just starts printing up more money, meaning printing up. He starts manufacturing more ways to help devotees and reach out to devotees because she's encouraged by your appreciation. But if there's no appreciation, often it causes contraction of the wealth. Sometimes you hear devotees say that I went out of my way to do such and such for so and so. There was no reciprocation, no recognition, no appreciation. So what's the use in putting myself out? And so that causes a contraction of wealth, of spiritual wealth. I'm not going to put myself out to help anyone again. So Lord Chaitanya is the supreme expert in expanding loving affairs and appreciation and nectarian exchanges between devotees. So he sees himself as a debtor to his devotees. He says, I'm a mendicant and have no money. How can I clear my debt for the favor you have shown me? And now listen to this. I have only this body, and therefore I surrender it unto you. Now, if you wish, you may sell it anywhere you like. It is your property. What was the reaction when the devotees heard this? Their hearts were melted. They just began to cry and cry and cry. Then Lord Chaitanya embraced all the devotees, and he began to cry and cry and cry. So the devotees were supposed to be leaving to go back to Navadvipa, but no one was able to go. They were just crying and crying and crying. Lord Chaitanya would cry, the devotees would cry, Lord Chaitanya would cry, and the devotees would cry. No one could go anywhere. For 5 or 6 days or so, no one was able to go anywhere. So this is the standard of Vaishnava relations. And even non-devotees can notice. Just like yesterday, I had the good fortune to have some of my material relations. They were given the association of Madhvacharya and Kunti, and they were filled with sumptuous prasad. And so I stayed with them last night. I have a cousin brother in Washington and another brother who flew down from Michigan. And so all the time they're talking, such warm, nice-hearted persons. Such warm, nice-hearted persons. Of course, you're speaking of Dhruva too. He was there. Such warm, nice-hearted persons. And, oh, the food. Oh. I was watching them. They took lunch around 3 o'clock, and then for 3 hours, they just couldn't go anywhere. They were just talking. So they, even though they're not, you know, they're not devotees, you know, they were appreciating that there's something special. They just kept saying the warmth and the genuineness and the friendliness of those people. So that is Lord Chaitanya's program, to bind everyone through loving exchanges. And of course, with his inner circle of devotees, you see that so prominently. He's telling his devotees, how can I repay you? I don't have any money. I'm a mendicant. Therefore, I give you my body. You can sell it. It's your property. Do as you choose. Have you ever told anyone that? No. My body is my property to achieve my goals, my happiness. My body is your property. You can sell it. You can do whatever you like. But Lord Chaitanya actually means that. He's not just saying these things. Therefore, everyone's crying. The devotees are crying. Lord Chaitanya is crying. So then, Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu say something very important. Transcendental qualities. But now, because of your sweet words, we're totally shackled. In other words, we're caught two ways. We're already imprisoned by your all attractive qualities. But now the bondage is even more because of your sweet words and sweet dealings. The doubly shackled. This is how deep Chaitanya Leela is. This is how deep the loving bond that Lord Chaitanya creates. This is how deep it goes. So, finally everyone calms down a bit and begins to bid each other farewell. Again, Lord Chaitanya tells Nityananda Prabhu, don't come here again and again. You'll have my association in Bengal. Don't worry. Don't come here again and again. The devotees start to leave Jagannath Puri to go back to Navadvip, and they're crying. In this way, I hope you can see how Lord Chaitanya binds everyone by his transcendental mercy. Just by being himself, he does that, and then just by his words and his loving dealings with his devotees. There's no escape. That is the loving nature of the Krishna conscious society as it should be. Ideally, imprisoned by love. Reminds me of a... Anyway. Song by a recently departed singer. I'm just a prisoner of love. That's what Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about, in the perfect sense, a prisoner of love. The concept of being a prisoner of love is not very popular these days. Maybe 40 years ago, when people were more sentimental and romantic, not so cynical as they are now in this day and age of divorce and divorce settlements and so on and so forth. But prisoner of love in the spiritual sense is the ultimate. And that's what Lord Chaitanya specializes in, making prisoners of love. Lord Chaitanya is saying he himself is a prisoner of love. They're all in prison. Mahaprabhu, his followers, they're all crying, embracing. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is a prisoner of love, not simply in terms of his dealings with the devotees, but in his feeling separation from Krishna, because in Lord Chaitanya's heart, as we said, are the emotions of Srimati Radharani. So that is the essence of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He's a prisoner of love. And showing how that is the highest goal of yoga. And now we haven't even gotten to the part about Lord Chaitanya and Jagannatha Pandit, which is a very intense loving exchange. Because Jagannatha Pandit is in the mood of Satyabhama, a feisty queen of Krishna and Dwarka. Remember how Krishna got Rukmini, a Parijata flower, and Satyabhama became envious. And so Krishna went back to the heavenly planets and got her a whole Parijata tree. And then Krishna was thinking, well, now what will how will Rukmini how will Rukmini how will she respond? But she didn't get angry. So that's why Krishna was provoking her in that famous pastime of saying, let's divorce. He wanted to see her beautiful face in anger because she didn't get provoked after he got Satyabhama a whole Parijata tree. So Jagannanda Pandit's in that mood, feisty. So we haven't even gotten to that yet, and already we're drenched in tears of Lord Chaitanya's prisoner of love pastimes. All right, I'll stop here and ask.